Islamic Inter-Parliamentary Union underscores Iran's call for denuclearization of Middle East. Iran's parliament speaker says Bashar al-Assad's peace plan is the best chance for facilitation of national talks in Syria. Iran says huge oil and gas reserves have been discovered on the country's borders with Turkmenistan and Iraq. International Atomic Energy Agency announces date for the next round of talks with Iran. And Syrian army pounds militant positions in several areas in Damascus as part of its campaign against foreign-backed rebels. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The Islamic Inter-Parliamentary Union has underscored Iran's call for the denuclearization of the Middle East. On a 17-point resolution closing its two-day meeting in Khartoum on Tuesday, the 48-member IIPU demanded the removal of weapons of mass destruction and particularly nuclear weapons from the Middle East. This proposal was put forward by the Iranian parliamentary delegation to the 8th General Assembly meeting of the IIPU. The union also underlined the rights of all nations to use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes, while expressing profound concern over the nuclear arsenal of the Zionist regime. The IIPU also condemned the assassination of nuclear scientists in the Muslim world, particularly in the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Speaker of Iran's Majlis or the Parliament says the peace plan proposed by Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is the best chance for facilitation of national talks between Syrian government and opposition groups. On the sidelines of the 8th General Assembly meeting of the Islamic Interparliamentary Union in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, Ali Larijani also expressed Iran's opposition to foreign intervention in Syria, saying certain foreign countries that are supporting the Syrian insurgents should stop sending weapons and money to the country. Larijani further noted that Iran believes that the Syrian crisis can only be resolved through a political solution along with democratic reforms in the country. In a key speech on January 6, Assad called for an end to the terrorist operations inside Syria and urged concerned states and parties to stop funding, arming, and harboring militants. He added that his government is always ready to hold talks with the opposition and will call for a comprehensive national dialogue after foreign parties end their support for the militants and the terrorist activities cease in the country. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman has condemned the deadly hostage-taking incident by a group of fighters in a natural gas facility in eastern Algeria. Rami Mehmet Haras expressed the Islamic Republic's condolences to the families of the hostages who were killed, as well as the Algerian government and nation. He said the incident would lead to the spread of insecurity and instability in the sensitive North Africa region, and stressed the necessity of putting an end to trans-regional support for the terrorists in this area. Mehmet Haras also called for a joint effort by international bodies and regional organizations to uproot terrorism. The hostage-taking crisis in Algeria began on January 16, when a group of fighters from Mali crossed the border into Algeria and attacked the En Amenas natural gas complex, taking a number of people hostage. On Saturday, Algerian troops stormed the gas complex to end the siege. The incident led to the death of a total of 25 hostages and 32 fighters. The fighters in Mali say they carried out the attack to avenge Algeria's support for the French war in Mali. The Iranian oil minister says huge oil and gas reserves have been discovered on the country's northeastern and western borders with Turkmenistan and Iraq. On the sidelines of the 3rd International Industrial Automation Conference in Tehran, Rustam Qasemi said, a huge and considerable body of gas lies in the northeastern Khangiran district of Khorasan Razavi province, but the exact volume of the reserves require further seismic studies and drilling of new wells. Qasemi also confirmed a statement by the Iraqi oil ministry on the discovery of a new oil field on the two countries' joint borders, saying Tehran will hold talks with Iraqi officials over the newly found shared reserves. Qasemi noted that over 2 billion barrels of in situ crude oil reserves have been discovered across the country in the past year. Iran ranks the third globally in terms of oil reserves, while having the world's second largest natural gas reserves after Russia, with 34 trillion cubic meters of natural gas reserves. The International Atomic Energy Agency has announced that the next round of talks with Iran over the country's peaceful nuclear energy program will be held in Tehran on February 13, one day later than previously agreed. On January 17, Iran and the United Nations Nuclear Agency wrapped up 2 days of talks in Tehran and agreed to hold a new round of talks in Tehran on February 12. Iran's ambassador to the IAEA, Ali Asghar Soltania, and the agency's deputy director general, Herman Nakartz, led the talks, which focused on finding a structured framework for mutual cooperation. The United States, the Zionist regime, and some of their allies have repeatedly accused Iran of pursuing non-civilian objectives on its nuclear energy program. Iran argues that, as a committed signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and a member of the IAEA, it is entitled to develop and acquire nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. Naval forces of the Islamic Republic of Iran and Oman have successfully conducted joint rescue and relief drills in Iran's territorial waters south of Hormuz Island. The drills were conducted by selected marine and airborne units of the Iranian and Omani naval forces. Tehran and Muscat have agreed to carry out joint naval drills every year, which aim to enhance the two countries' readiness for providing relief aid and conducting rescue operations, boost regional cooperation, and pave the way for the exchange of experiences. Iran and Oman staged joint naval relief and rescue drills in February 2011. 4 Omani vessels, 2 fighter jets, and 1 maritime helicopter, as well as 4 Iranian naval ships, participated in the drill. Iran's Navy has been also multiplying its naval presence in the international waters since 2011, deploying vessels to the Indian Ocean and dispatching 2 ships via the Suez Canal to the Mediterranean for the first time in February 2011. The Islamic Republic has extended a public invitation to the regional states to conduct joint naval drills with Iranian forces. The Islamic Republic of Iran and Russia have signed a memorandum of understanding to increase security cooperation between the two countries. Iranian Interior Minister Mustafa Mohammad Najjar and his Russian counterpart signed the MOU during a meeting in Tehran. Mohammad Najjar said the signing of the security MOU is a cornerstone in the expansion of cooperation between the two countries. The Iranian Interior Minister added that the good relations between Iran and Russia require that Tehran and Moscow cooperate to provide security for the region. He further said training police forces and providing security in the region were among the main issues of the talks in Tehran. Mohammad Najjar noted that various other issues, such as the Caspian Sea, fighting organized crimes, and human and drug trafficking, had also been discussed in the meeting. Another recap of our top stories. Islamic Arab Parliamentary Union underscores Iran's call for denuclearization of Middle East. Iran's Parliament Speaker says Bashar al-Assad's peace plan is the best chance for facilitation of national talks in Syria. Iran says huge oil and gas reserves have been discovered on the country's borders with Turkmenistan and Iraq. International Atomic Energy Agency announces date for the next round of talks with Iran. And Syrian army pounds militant positions in several areas in Damascus as part of its campaign against foreign-backed armed militants. The Syrian army has pounded militant positions in several areas in Damascus province as part of its campaign against foreign-backed militants operating in the country. The military operations were held in the towns of Daraya and Mudammiyat al-Sham, southwest of the capital, and Yalda and Beit al-Sham, just to the city's south. There are also reports of clashes between militants and Palestinian refugees inside Yarmouk camp in the capital. Syrian troops have also clashed with rebels and homes in Aleppo, inflicting heavy losses on them. Syrian government forces have also thwarted an attack by a group of foreign-sponsored gunmen against an army checkpoint in the central province of Homs. A number of gunmen were killed during intense clashes with Syrian troops as they assaulted the military building. Earlier on Monday, more than 50 people were killed and scores of others were injured in a terrorist car bomb explosion in the town of Salmiya in the western province of Hama. Syria has been experiencing unrest since March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of army and security personnel, have been killed under turmoil. Three blasts, including a suicide attack near an army base, killed at least 17 people across Baghdad. According to officials, a parked car bomb exploded in a crowded market in northwestern Baghdad, killing 5 people and wounding 13. The blast damaged a large number of cars, scattered debris on the ground. This is while the second and the most deadly explosions took place 20 kilometers north of the Iraqi capital, where a suicide bomber driving a car packed with explosives detonated his bomb near an army base, killing at least 7 people and wounding 24. In Mahmoudiya, a town 30 kilometers south of Baghdad, a car bomb attacker near an army checkpoint killed 5 people, including 2 soldiers, and wounded 14 more. Iraqi people blame U.S. for such terrorist acts.
Some of the people are accusing the Sunnis, but the Sunnis are our brothers. We blame this act on the Salafists, the Wahhabists, and Taifrists. They are to blame for this act, but they will not succeed in breaking our unity. You can see the damage and the burnt-out cars. What did those people do to be killed?
The Pakistani foreign minister has expressed concern over the U.S. assassination drone strikes in her country, describing them as counterproductive. In a statement, Hana Rabbani Kaur said Islamabad has repeatedly raised concerns on the U.S. drone strikes, referring to thousands of Pakistani civilians who were killed by CIA-operated drones in recent years. She went on to say that Islamabad will take up drone attacks issue with Washington and its ambassador to Pakistan. Pakistan's tribal regions are attacked by U.S. terror drones almost regularly, with Washington claiming that militants are the targets. However, casualty figures clearly indicate that civilians are the main victims. Despite Pakistan's repeated calls on the U.S. to end the drone attacks, the U.S. government continues its deadly strikes on the country's tribal belt. The killing of Pakistani civilians, including women and children, has also strained relations between Islamabad and Washington. Dozens of people have been killed in 2 successive U.S.-led assassination drone strikes in eastern Afghanistan. The deadly attacks took place in eastern Nuristan province. There have been conflicting reports about the identity of the victims. Local officials say the strikes targeted Taliban militants, but villagers report that those killed were all unarmed civilians. The latest attacks come one day after a U.S.-led drone killed 2 people in Kunduz province in northern Afghanistan. Foreign troops have already been under fire, that is, from both Afghan government and public, over the deadly airstrikes. Washington claims the targets of the drone attacks are Al-Qaeda militants, but local officials and witnesses maintain that civilians have been the main victims of the attacks over the past few years. The U.S. and its allies invaded Afghanistan in 2001 as part of Washington's so-called War on Terror. The offensive removed the Taliban from power, but insecurity continues to rise across the country despite the presence of tens of thousands of U.S.-led troops. Despite the fact that Greece has been a tourist destination for years, deep economic crisis has adversely affected the country's tourism industry. A correspondent has a scoop from Athens.
The last 5 years, according to data released on Wednesday by the head of the Panhellenic Hoteliers Association, coupled with soaring unemployment hovering over 26% and 60% for the younger age groups, the prospects of tourism and the economy do look brighter than at the beginning of the crisis, but still grimmer than a decade ago. Tourism is the most dynamic and rapidly expanding sector in the Greek economy, which has contracted by 25% in the last 5 years. According to the study, the rate of the decline is identical to that observed in domestic arrivals at the country's airports over the last 4 years, which illustrates how much domestic tourism has shrunk. In contrast, arrivals from abroad during the same period have actually increased by 2.5%. The number of available rooms has declined by 12.1% in the least 5 years, mainly due to hotels opting to stay open for fewer months in a bid to cut losses. This means that despite an increased propensity for international arrivals, Greeks spend less on domestic tourism, thus hurting the sector in general. In the meanwhile, there is currently a new draft law being prepared trying to offer solutions in entrepreneurship and introduce new forms of tourism investment, such as condo hotels. Experts say that tourism consists of enterprises that cannot run away from the problems of a problematic and constantly shrinking economy, with a reduction in consumption, excessive taxation, inflation that is disproportionate to the recession, and a bankrupt credit system that renders funding extremely expensive or impossible. Tourism contributes a bit less than 20% to the Greek GDP, and as such, it is considered one of the main backbone pillars of the Greek economy. Most analysts now say that the drop of touristic receipts in Greece does not only come from less international arrivals from abroad, but also from a drop in the domestic consumption made by Greeks, meaning that the economic crisis is now not just hitting the social capital of the country, but is also affecting one of the most developing pillars of the Greek economy. Lucas Germanos, Shobake Kabar, Athens.
Meantime, Greek metro workers have defied a court order to return to work and have staged the sixth day of strikes over the government's spending cuts. Athens was without a metro service on Tuesday for 4 to 5 hours, which comes in continuation to the protest that started on Thursday over the planned cuts to metro workers' salaries. A Greek court ruled against Athens' metro workers' union's planned strikes and permitted the government to use force to make personnel return to work. Union officials call on the government to abolish the planned changes to the public sector's pay scales, which comes as Athens implements measures to satisfy its Eurozone creditors. Euro plunged into financial crisis in early 2008. The worsening debt crisis has forced the EU governments to adopt harsh austerity measures and tough economic reforms, which have triggered massive protests in many European countries. And finally, the International Labour Organization says lack of sufficient economic growth is expected to create more unemployment in the world in 2013. The UN agency said the number of unemployed in 2013 will rise to more than 202 million people throughout the world.
The 2 years of decline in the number of unemployed around the world, 2012 saw a resurgence of unemployment, up by 4.2 million worldwide. A quarter of that increase in unemployment is to be found in the advanced industrialized economies, but it, of course, is not confined, and there are marked negative effects in other developing regions, most notably East and South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. Our projection would be for 5.1 million more in 2013.
That is a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Till then, take care and goodbye.